Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm BJ. Woo!
And this week, we are starting to take a look at all of the Dragon Quest protagonists. This is going to be something that we're going to be doing for the next few weeks. And we're just going to go in order, rather than like counting them down from our favorites to least favorites and that kind of thing. We're just going in order with the series and kind of looking at which ones we love, which ones we don't love, and how they kind of like evolved over time and from entry to entry. This first episode, today's episode, we're going over the Erdrick trilogy protagonists, 1, 2, 3 of Dragon Quest. Before we get into all that good stuff, though, we did have a listener question that we were going to talk about at the first part here. That question came from Nick Riviera. He said, "Hey, Dragon Quest FM, just finished DQ2 in my long-delayed quest to play the main series. Now I'm torn. Should I jump right into DQ3 or skip it for now and circle back when the 2D HD remake releases?" Which is a good question.
I think that's on a lot of people's minds, actually, on whether they should wait or play it. I actually was told I was going to start playing DQ3 on the Switch recently, and somebody was like, "Dude, don't do that. Wait on the HD 2D remake. It's going to be so much better." And I thought about it. I was like, "Yeah, you know what? I think I will wait on it." So even though I have it on the Switch and haven't played all the way through it, I'm waiting on the remake myself.
Yeah, and I told him, and I'm going to say the dead opposite. Because here's the thing. People complain about the Switch and mobile ports because, you know, monsters don't move or the sprites look wonky.
That's my biggest thing about it, is I hate the monsters not moving.
See, and it doesn't bug me at all. And if the alternative is wait, because 2D HD remake does not have a release date. And if the alternative, if you want to play this game and the alternative is wait years for it, or spend a ton of money, like hundreds of dollars, on the NES or Game Boy Color version, then play the Switch or mobile version of the game.
But I also really like the graphics and HD 2D things. Like, I don't like the gameplay of things like Octopath Traveler, but I love the way it looks. And so this one I'm really excited about because it's beautiful and a game that I know that I like the gameplay in. So I'm going to be waiting on it to play the rest of the way through it. I mean, I've started DQ3 and gotten ways through it lots of times, but never all the way. So I'm waiting to go all the way with the new one.
I don't know. My thing is, if you want to play it, like play it, like don't wait around. Like, people crap on the Switch and mobile ports, and they're really not that bad. Like, I think people are just overly nitpicky about them because they grew up with their Game Boy games having animations or whatever. And it's just like, eh.
See, and for me, it makes it where I don't like the combat in it. I lose track of what is attacking me. I take the visual cues rather than seeing the log as it goes through. And so it just them sitting there and not doing anything while they're attacking me, it's boring. And it makes it where I just don't enjoy it. So that's why I've stopped every time on the Switch. And one of the reasons I didn't necessarily like the mobile version of 1 is good, but it's not the best. And it's not even that they're not animated. It's they don't even shake. It's that I don't even care if they're one frame sprites like this. It's that they don't flash or shake or do anything. It's just they sit there, and I'm like, this is completely uninteresting to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I played through the mobile ones and the Switch ones of 1, 2, and 3, and I don't know. They were fine. if you want to play it is my whole thing. Like, don't, like, you know, I wouldn't say avoid the Switch one and go try to buy, like, the GBC one for $600 on eBay.
Oh, yeah, no, don't do that. That's a hard pass.
And I don't like the Octopath Traveler thing. Like, I'm super sick of that style and have hated it in every game that has had it. So, you know, like I've mentioned before, that's not a big selling point for me. It's a deterrent for me. Like, the remake of DQ3 for me, like, an interest level is like at about a 1 because I don't like that style.
And I really like that style. So I do, Like, yeah. I really look forward to it. But I do like the way that the Switch version of 3 looks. Like, it is very pretty. I like the way that the mobile ports look. I mean, that's what it is. Basically, the same sprites, just it's horizontal instead of portrait. And just landscape instead of portrait. And then I'm the kind of person who really likes the Final Fantasy VI version on Steam and mobile with the new sprites on it. Like, it doesn't make me not like the old one, but I actually like the newer sprites on it too. So it's I may not be the one to listen to on it, because I tend to look at things as being, you know, this is good for what it is. And 3 is good for what it is, but I hate the animations and will avoid it because of that.
You man babies and your animations.
Yeah. I mean, this is also something that happened when I was little, like as a child. I hated those old cartoons that didn't have animated that would like go through, and then the actual like characters weren't animated, but it's like they would just very lightly move across the thing or just have a voiceover with a static picture. I refused to watch those. I hated them. And so I like them now that I'm older, but it's kind of that same thing. It's just like, why could you not put a little more effort into this and to make it like shake when it attacks me? Like, that's all I want, is for the friggin' thing to shake to the side or even flash white. It's like, it's...
I mean, when you hit them, though, they like flash, or they have like little like scratch things over animations.
Yeah,
over.
But it's when they attack me. It actually has made me die before, because I didn't realize how bad the attack was, because I didn't know which one it was coming from.
That's like, weird. I've never had that problem in any of the times I've played those games or replayed those games.
It's definitely a personal thing. It's definitely just if this either bothers you or it doesn't. And so I suggest, if you haven't tried it, they go on sale a lot. If you're thinking about doing the Switch version, you're going to be able to get it for, I think the cheapest I've seen it was like $279 or something.
Oh, when
it
goes on sale. I haven't seen 3 that low, but I've seen
3 is at least maybe $399, because they do go up in price every one. I'm actually going to look it up right now as we're talking about this. You can cut this stuff out.
The cheapest I've seen 3 on Switch was about $8, and the cheapest I've seen it on iOS is about $4 or $5.
Okay.
For 3.
I'm looking to see if it's on sale right now, because it's Black Friday.
Well, it is. We're pre-recording this episode, but the sale may end when this episode goes up.
It is $12.49 right now on Switch, so it's not as cheap as I thought that it would be right now. It may go on more of a sale later this week. It might be on more of a sale today whenever you're listening to this on Black Friday, but it's definitely something to look for if you want a cheap one and just try it. I mean, as much as I don't like the animations, I bought this one as soon as it came out, thought it was really pretty, and then got annoyed by the animation part of it. But I also have another copy of It 1, 2, and 3 in a sealed Switch case I bought from Asia on PlayAsia. So I support these games and all they're doing. It just depends on what you want to pay for it, honestly.
Yeah.
And how badly you want to play it, because it's a good game. It's a really good game. And if you ever played 9 and you really like it, it's probably a good idea just to go ahead and play it.
Yeah, I think that 1, 2, and 3 have gone on sale, and the other Dragon Quest games too, have gone on sale on iOS at least, like the mobile iOS ports of them have gone on sale every year in like December, early January,
mm-hmm.
For like at least the last 5 years. Like Square Enix almost always does a sale for any mobile titles like that around that time.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's when I grabbed them originally, was when they were all on sale. And I think I paid like maybe $12 total for all 3 of them, which was like a real steal. I mean, people can complain about the games all they want, but for $12, that's a heck of a bargain.
Yeah, the physical version is still, I paid $50 for it when it was brand new. And I think it's still that way because of the, it being only international. But I mean, you're not going to get them cheaper than this unless it's mobile. And to be completely honest, I suggest this one over mobile because of the I don't like the UI as much on mobile as I do this one. Yeah. Although it is better than Dragon Quest IV. Dragon Quest IV had a terrible thing because I don't like using the buttons to rotate the camera. That's what got me on that one. Was the actual mobile exploration on mobile. Yeah, I ended up playing it on 3DS because of the way the buttons were, that you had to like look around the world, it was unintuitive to me. So I just like, I'll play this on 3DS. This isn't a big deal. But it was super pretty on mobile. I will say it's prettier on mobile than it was otherwise. Yeah.
So Dragon Quest protagonist.
Right.
Dragon Quest One protagonist is just you. I mean, he has almost no discernible personality traits. Yeah. He's in some armor that looks cool. He's in like this heavy armor that has like horns and stuff on it. I mean, he looks cool, especially in the Switch and mobile ports, like we've been talking about, where it's got more color to it. I think he looks extra cool as opposed to just like the blue avatar Capsule J's profile pic. Yeah. But even though, like, as a protagonist, he's very uninteresting, like, for whatever reason, like, I would not count DQ1's protagonist as my least favorite. And I think it's because you only play as him.
Yeah.
So, like, you form an attachment.
You really do. Like, I love the way he looks, especially in the remakes and stuff, because you're right. The kind of blue and white sprite that goes around it's classic and it's cool looking, but I like the remake ones a lot better with the color and everything. And you're right. As far as the character itself goes, I'm like you. It's such a proxy for just you running around. It's like all you know really is like, hey, you're a descendant of Erdrick. And you're like, I'm going to go rescue the princess and kill this dragon and Dragon Lord. Like, it's you doing this. It really is a role-playing game at that point. And that's what they were going for when they created it, trying to make a game kind of like Ultima and some of the early PC RPGs or computer RPGs, I guess, where they were called the Avatar, and it was an unnamed protagonist that you could put yourself in, which was like Richard Garriott wanted. And so Yuji Horii did the same thing on this. So I do. I like DQ1s because I like me. Oh.
I don't even know what to say to that. no comment, I guess.
Aww.
No, but one thing that I think is interesting or kind of weird about DQ1's protagonist is that if you look back at the artwork, especially for the Super Nintendo version of one, he has, like in guides and stuff, like official artwork, he has black hair, and he looks very much just like, he looks pretty much like Erdrick, but without spiky hair. Like, he's kind of got flat black hair.
Yep.
I mean, you know, he doesn't look special in any real kind of way, but I mean, he doesn't look terrible. It just is kind of like generic Toriyama protagonist. And then later on, you know, they kind of retconned DQ1's hero and gave him like if you took away his armor, you know, he has kind of like the red tunic and like blonde hair with like the headband and everything. And I think it's I don't know. It's one of those things that's weird. And I mean, I guess they did it to make him stand apart from all the black haired Toriyama protagonists out there.
I can only think of like two or three. No, I can think of all of them. It's all of them. Yeah. With the dark ones, dark hair. Yeah. I mean, it is. I like the blonde. Honestly, I like the light hair on it when I see it. Like it always surprises me, but then I'm like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. And I like that one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't just hate it. And I mean, he's the only blonde protagonist in the series, which I think kind of helps make him stand apart for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, they've never had the blonde, spiky haired protagonist that, you know, is all over Final Fantasy nowadays. But, but you know, Dragon Quest has it. But so it does make him stand out a little bit more. I guess because more of the things I have has artwork of him with black hair, I think of him more as a black-haired protagonist.
Yeah. It's always like when I see it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But I think of him as a black-haired one because of the original stuff.
Yeah. So even though he is just kind of this, you know, generic dude within the game, it's like I can't really say that he's my least favorite protagonist Obviously he's not going to rank toward the top where some of them have more personality and you like them more, but because they're me, it's like you just kind of form an attachment. You have to rely on him for everything. And that's why I still like DQ1, even though it's simple, you know, it's really quick. I mean, you know, you can beat that thing like in 5-6 hours, easy peasy now, but I don't know. I like DQ1. I like it for its simplicity. I like that you can beat it quickly. I like that there's only one person you have to worry about and stuff like that. I don't know. There's something almost comforting about it at this point. I've replayed. That's one of those games that I kind of replay a lot of times, around Christmas for some reason. So I'll probably end up playing it around this time too, where it's just kind of like you want to get cozy with like a video game, but you don't want to necessarily invest like 60 hours into it. It's like, you know, this is a good one. You know, you spend like 5 hours and you're done.
And I think it's because that's when you played it first. That you had beaten 11 and loved it and then went back to all of them to do your year of Dragon Quest. And it was over Christmas break that you did that. Well, I don't know if it was Christmas break, but it was over December and the holidays that you played like the first three of them, or at least the first two of them. I know you did the mobile ones, and then was just like, oh my God, what do I do now? I wish I had this on mobile, because the others like weren't when you had them.
Yeah. Maybe so, but you know, and there was the year after that, or maybe the year after that, you know, you sat and watched me play through the Switch DQ1 for a long. Uh-huh. I was basically speed running it, where I was just going through. I knew like exactly where everything was. I was just grabbing stuff really quickly and trying not to dilly dally and stuff. And I can't remember. I beat Dragon Lord with like an impressively low level.
I don't remember what it was
and
now.
Some of it came down to RNG and luck, but still, it was like whenever I got done beating it, I was like, wow, I can't believe, you know, I did that this fast. Then there's Dragon Quest II's protagonist, which is where I'm sure you and I are going to have the biggest argument about, because I really like the Prince of Minhal, Laurasia, if you played some of the older versions. Prince of Minhal, I love his design. I love the pilot's hat, the little goggles, the blue outfit. Like, it's one of my favorite protagonist designs, and you hate it.
I hate the way he looks. Like, I can't stand it. Like, that's one of those things that just in the game, in the series, I see him, and I'm like, well, that's dumb. Like, I just think he looks dumb. Some of the art looks really cool. Like, I will say, like, I see the Toriyama art, I see box art, I see fan art. And I'm like, yeah, that looks really neat. Unfortunately, in the game, he looks like a goober. And I cannot stand what any of the sprites look like at all. Like, the actual character animations and stuff, just hate it.
Spoiler, I guess, for the Dragon Quest Monsters Plus manga here.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was interesting there is that he gets kind of a canonical name, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they call him, I believe he's Roland in there.
It's
been a while. Back whenever I was reading through the Manga Plus stuff, Liquid Metal Slime on Twitter had sent me a DM and was asking me what the names of the Dragon Quest characters you meet in this manga is in English.
Yeah.
And they were telling me what they were in Spanish. And I was telling them what they were in English, and we were kind of like comparing notes and stuff. And it was interesting to see kind of the differences. I don't remember them off the top of my head. I'll try to go back through my DMs and find those and mention those next week, next week's episode, to follow up on this. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the English one. Maybe this is the Spanish one and I'm getting it confused. But I'm like 99% sure he's Roland. In the as in like the gunslinger, you know, from the Dark Tower, in the manga,
which is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, I like that as a canonical name for Minhal, if he's got to have one. And I think it's because I love the Dark Tower books. Those are some of my favorite books ever, and I've reread them multiple times. And I really like Roland as a character, and you know, that's why I think I loved Roland so much in Ni No Kuni 2, because he's a gunslinger that gets sucked into another world. I mean, he's just rolling from the Dark Tower.
Yeah, but he's pretty cool.
But like, in reverse, kind of.
Also, let me say this while we're talking, and you mention it, y'all go play Ni No Kuni 2. It's fantastic. Like, it does not get the love that it deserves. It's wonderful, and it's the game that got me back into playing JRPGs after being years out of them. It's wonderful, and it's Black Friday. You can probably find it super cheap, and you absolutely need to play it. If you don't, you're disappointing me. Like, disappoint me. Like, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
It is on sale. Yes. So it will have been on sale during Black Friday, and I believe it's on sale through December 4th. And it is a fantastic game. And, hot take, I actually like it better than the first one.
I like it so much better than the first one.
I know that everyone says the first one is great and seems to hate on the second one, but I actually like the second one better.
I mean, it's just, I like the first one's art style, but I hate the battle system. And I love the battle system in the second one. And I know people complain about it, but it's like, I really don't understand. Like, I truly do not get it because it's so much fun. That said, go play it. And while we're talking about protagonists, it's really cool. Roland is great.
Roland is great, yeah. And in Dragon Quest II's protagonist, though, had a similar thing happen to him in that his hairstyle changed. It went from being dark to being white.
Which is weird. Like, I don't even get that one, but like, and I don't see it very often.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time
I don't actually see the white stuff.
Yeah, most of the time, most of the time he's got his hat on, you know.
Yeah.
So you don't see it, but yeah, he went to being he had like this platinum, you know, kind of white hair. In later iterations, and I'm not sure what the reasoning was for that because I feel like he already had a very distinct look. I guess they're just trying to. I guess when they were just going back through, you know, revising designs, character designs and stuff for people that they were like, hey, let's just change these up, set them apart a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that, but it's also the same thing. Like, I'm like, he has the most unique of any of the looks, except he looks dumb. And like, I just, like I said, I don't like it. Like, as a character, he's cool. Like, you know, it's a, you know, he's fine, but hate the way he looks.
I wish that
I could just change it.
Yeah, I really like the way he looks. I don't know. I like it. So we got a little bit more protagonist talk planned, but right now I think it's time for a little shameless self-promotion.
Oh, we so shameless. We're gonna beg you for money. We so shameless. Join our Patreon info. I don't know.
You sounded like Tom Haverford doing his boy band songs on Parks and Recreation. That's exactly what you sounded like. You're Tom Haverford.
I'll take it.
You are Tom Haverford in a lot of ways.
I like Tom, so that's fine. I'll absolutely take that.
I like Tom too, but his quirks are definitely you definitely share some of the same quirks.
I you're right.
Yeah. Just think about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, join our Patreon, it's funny, and then I just messed it up. Like, I was just like, yeah.
Yeah. We do have a Patreon page though. You can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. You can get a whole lot of goodies, some of which I'm going to be sending out to our patrons really soon. And then you also get access to like a bunch of minisodes. You get access to like some bookie book stuff from tabletop RPGs and just other things we're doing. So we always try to give lots of stuff up to our patrons as a way of saying thank you on a regular basis. So if you want to join the community, help support this podcast, totally do that. And there's lots of goodies waiting for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did I sound like a witch trying to lure a child into the woods?
Well, no, what you, the stuff behind you. And it's really funny too. That's what I was going to say. It's like, as you say this, it's like, there's like some sort of like buzzing sound in the background, but it was so repetitive that it was almost sing songy. So yeah, kind of that, you were trying to hypnotize people into joining the Patreon.
Yeah. Come to my cottage in the woods. I have candy. I will definitely not put you in my oven.
You won't.
It's the yard people. My neighbors next door started showing up at our recording time now. I noticed it for the first time last week, and then they're doing it again this week. I don't know. I don't know what happened there, but that used to not be an issue, and now it is, and they did start it. I didn't even notice until you just
it was just
it.
Because you were talking about that, and it was like, wah, 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 in the background, and I was like, hey. Yeah.
They're probably trimming the hedges that we share with that neighbor. They're probably out there trimming those right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it is extra loud at the moment. But anyway, getting back into today's episode with Mendenhall is that I think, you know, for whatever reason, I really like the designs for all three of those characters, you know, Moonbrook, Kanik, Mendenhall.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I really like those designs, and I feel like I feel like even more so than one, you know, just with the heavy armor look and everything, I feel like the characters from two really kind of set the stage for the character designs in like all the later Dragon Quest games.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, is that it really is that it took it, as much as I don't like it, it took the character design just exponentially up from one to two. It's like they really upped their game and wanted to make it something special and stand out. And they did that. It is absolutely unlike Dragon Quest One. It's just I don't happen to like the protagonist's design.
Yeah,
but it does, like the kind of uniqueness that it has takes hold here, where the rest of the series really, well, the uniqueness really lets the rest of the series take that as a foundation, take its inspiration from that.
Yeah, well, that, and also, you know, like Kanik looks a lot like he looks a lot like the priest that you see in later entries, like Kirill,
yep.
You know, and you have Moonbrook who looks a lot like the mage or the priest in later
right.
entries, and you just have, I don't know, like I feel like the protagonist isn't in heavy armor, which is something that happens in every other entry. I guess it depends on your job in like 9 and 10 and things like that.
But, yeah, it'll completely change.
But like in terms of like what their actual like canonical protagonist art, you know, design looks like with a non-specific job, you see that kind of, it's more like clothing than heavy armor and stuff. And so,
yeah.
So I think 2 did kind of really help set the stage for later stuff. And then you have the big one. You have Dragon Quest 3's hero, Erdrick. And this is the one that really has the biggest impact on Dragon Quest as a series. But also, I was thinking about this before we recorded, but also like just JRPGs in general for protagonist designs. Because I was thinking about this, and Erdrick, I think, is the first JRPG protagonist with like spiky hair. Like, think about it.
Really?
Think about it. Can you think of a game that had a protagonist with spiky hair before 1989?
Final Fantasy I had the monk, but like, because there wasn't really a protagonist there.
But the hero that's on the front has heavy armor. It has the horn armor and stuff. Like
it does.
Like in one.
Huh.
And in Final Fantasy II, when they have names and everything, they don't have.
Maybe like, so.
I think Erdrick was the first spiky-haired JRPG protagonist. Like, I really could not think of any game that came before it where the protagonist had spiky hair like this.
And really set the stage for basically everything else.
Yeah.
Without him, you wouldn't have Cloud.
Aww.
And
what would Tetsuya Nomura have done if he didn't have spiky haired protagonist control?
I don't know. Maybe like create something interesting and enjoyable.
Hey, he's done some good stuff.
I know. I was about to say I really liked Nomura for a long time, and have only recently begun really getting frustrated with the work that he does.
He started being too self indulgent, and the company started letting him be self-indulgent.
Right.
And it's kind of just gone off the rails, I feel like. But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I love the first Kingdom Hearts game.
Yeah, it's great. I love the second one.
Yeah, I mean, I like the second one fine too. And it's just like, I don't know. Either way, I think Erdrick was the first spiky-haired protagonist. Yeah. If you're listening to this and you can think of one that came before that, let me know. But I was racking my brain before we were recording this today, and I got to thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I really can't think of a spiky haired little protagonist in a JRPG before Dragon Quest III came out. And Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that at all.
In terms of the series, Erdrick probably has a bigger impact than any other protagonist in the entire series. I mean, you get callbacks to Erdrick in later entries. He's kind of like the iconic Dragon Quest protagonist. Like, if there's one Dragon Quest protagonist that people can know, it's probably going to be Erdrick.
For sure. Like, it could be Dragon Quest 1. Like, people could be used to seeing that one. It's used a lot, but Erdrick lately has specifically been used a lot more.
Yeah, and I mean, I think part of that is, you know, the impact that the game had on the industry and in Japanese culture. Mm-hmm. I think that accounts a lot for Erdrick kind of becoming this iconic protagonist that's closely associated with Dragon Quest. Like, a lot of people, I feel like, in the States, hold Dragon Quest III in really high esteem as well. Like, that's the one, you had it on NES and on Game Boy Color, and that was kind of the one that people held in really high esteem before Dragon Quest VIII ever came over. Dragon Warrior III, I guess it was called over on those platforms. But because of all of that, kind of it helps account for Erdrick's popularity. For whatever reason, and I think it's probably because I didn't play III when it was brand spanking new, Erdrick doesn't quite have that amount of oomph for me.
Yeah.
As some of the other protagonists do, including Mendenhall. Like, Erdrick looks cool. Yes, he has a cool impact on, like, the lore and stuff of the series. But just in terms of, like, his character, it's kind of like, eh. Like, I mean, I guess it's interesting with him, you know, you're the son or daughter, because there is a female Erdrick, of Ortega. But, like, in terms of personality, it kind of has the same problem, I feel like, that the first two Dragon Quest games have, where there's nothing super interesting about him. Other than, I mean, you know, he's the son, daughter of a famous warrior. And you get to do fun things, but it's like, you know, the NPCs you hire for your party, I guess they're not NPCs because you do play as them, but, you know,
the little
non-specific character name specific job classes that you place in your party and stuff. Like, it feels like there's still not a lot of personality to Erdrick.
There's not. I mean, it's absolutely right.
I think for me, it's that, like, later protagonists have personalities that you can kind of become attached to. Erdrick has the same problem, or if you don't want a protagonist with a personality, I guess it's a benefit that the first two games have. And so I think for me, that's why, like, if we were ranking them, like, I'd probably put Erdrick somewhere in the middle, because yes, he's like an iconic design, has big impact, but, like, he's definitely not my favorite protagonist.
Yeah, it's odd because, like, he is such a unique character in the lore and the mythos and model and everything, but the entire game, because of how you do your party, it pretty much can be just a blank slate on everybody, because, like, even he, like you said, doesn't have a huge personality like Dragon Quest IX or something does, or 8, where you know exactly who they are.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a fun blank slate character, but, like, for instance, you know, his Bring Arts figure came out around the same time as 11's did, but also characters from, like, 5 and 4 have come out.
Right.
And it's like, I want all of those instead of Erdrick. Like, Erdrick, just for whatever reason, doesn't mean as much to me. And I think I think it probably is because I didn't play the game when it was brand new.
I do totally understand that. Like, it makes sense.
I think Dragon Quest III is a fantastic game. I love Dragon Quest III. And I think it's a fantastic game, and I think especially for the time period it released in, it is especially great. But yeah, just because I didn't play it when it was new, Erdrick as a character has never appealed to me as much as everybody else. I do want to just mention briefly that I do think it's hilarious that the little farmer dude at the end of 6... is named Erdrick. I know you haven't gotten there, but whenever you go into, like, the Dark Realm and stuff, and there's, like, a little, I guess there's an insurrection fomenting. And anyway, there's, like, a little, he looks like a farmer, the NPC design does. Anyway, his name is Erdrick, and he's like, my pa named me after a famous hero or something like that. It's just like a little bitty thing, but the NPC's name says Erdrick. So it's like just kind of a interesting thing there.
Huh.
As far as I know, it's the only instance of Erdrick canonically appearing inside of a game where it's not applied directly to, like, that title.
Yeah, to one of the heroes or something like that. Yeah, as a title. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't got there. If I'd seen that, I'd be like, what in the world?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird but funny thing. Anyway, I think that about does it for this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Remember, you can talk to us on Twitter at DragonQuestFM. If you want to talk to us on Patreon, you can do that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And if you want to talk to me directly on Twitter, you can find me at DragonQuestin.
And I'm on Twitter as at Professor Beej. You can listen to my other podcast, the Geek to Geek podcast, on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You can join us on Discord at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And I guess that would be all of it. So, and you can buy merch at dragonquest.fm/merch. So check that out, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm here.
And
I'm DJ.
And here and I are once again talking about Dragon Quest protagonists. This episode, we're going to focus on the protagonists from the Zenithia trilogy. That would be Dragon Quest 4, 5, and 6. They have some of the most iconic protagonists in the entire series. But before we get to that, I got to do a follow-up from last week. Last week, I mentioned that I thought the DQ2's protagonist was called Roland in the manga. Right. And I said I couldn't remember if that was the Spanish version or the English version because of comparing notes with Liquid Metal Slime on Twitter. And I looked it up. I went back through the DMs from like 2 years ago to see what it was. And it's actually Lauren, L-O-R-A-N, in English, and it was Roland in Spanish.
Okay. Yeah, it's better in Spanish.
Yeah, I really thought so, too. I was like,
Yeah, I mean, that's sad. That does make me a little sad that any time that they have American stuff that we get really weird, we get really strange translations for names and stuff sometimes. It's like, that's not a name. Like, maybe it's like, I don't know Spanish, so I don't know what the conventions are there, but usually in English, I know that people are like, oh, you can't have Dennis in your high fantasy kind of thing. Like, that's not a fantasy name, Roland. I know a guy who's named Roland, where like you don't see like a Loran and all of things like that.
Yeah. You can't have a guy named Dennis in a fantasy novel?
I mean, Dennis doesn't sound like a fantasy name as much as, you know, Aragorn, son of Arathorn.
Well, okay, I get your point now. I was confused for a second. Yeah, you could have.
I mean,
you could have Dennis the Menace, who is a Vlad the Impaler type, like ruthless dictator who's like chopping off people's heads and goring them on pikes and things.
It's Dennis, true, but in America, it would be D apostrophe N I S or something like that.
Yeah,
and
it would be a Y instead.
It's true. D apostrophe N-Y-S is how you spell Dennis in American high fantasy, which is why we get terrible names, is because of people like me saying things like that.
Yeah.
And fantasy authors writing things like that. Like Robert Jordan with everything with the owl apostrophe and things like that and ill and things like that. Just stop.
Yeah. And well, and George R. R. Martin is really bad about putting Y's in places of I's. He's like, this changes the name enough. He just has like a normal name. Like he would have a dude named Dennis, but it would be a Y instead of an I. And he'd be like, it's fantasy now.
Yep.
He does that with names. Yep, a lot.
He does.
The thing with Robert Jordan, the reason why I think that Robert Jordan does that is because in the Lord of the Rings appendices, I'm going to nerd out for just a second. The AL thing is like a way of seeing like is like son of.
Oh,
so a
okay.
lot of the kings, like Aragorn, the line of kings
would
and stuff like
be
that.
Be Alarathorn.
A lot of those in the appendices, if you look at that, has the AL moniker. And in Wheel of Time, they talk about it meaning like son of, or like you're from that family.
Right.
Like Althor would be like, you know, he's.
Isn't it like Al Mondragoron or something? Mondragoron or something like that?
Yeah,
his actual land. Yeah, his actual land, Al Mondragoron or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
So.
And
like going into that, yeah. You know, Robert Jordan just wanted to be the next Tolkien, which, you know, in a way he kind of was. He was very influential, but he took a lot of conventions from him as being like very traditionally Tolkien-esque fantasy.
Yeah, at least in the first novel.
Yeah. I would say the first two or three. It's starting to get away from it more in four. I have no idea past that, but I feel like the second one still had that kind of Fellowship of the Ring feel, and three was starting to move a little bit past it, and four, I don't really see the Tolkien stuff nearly as much, the Tolkien influence outside of just being, you know, generic high fantasy. But
for those of you just joining us, this is a Wheel of Time podcast now.
We are the Taverin.
Which also has an apostrophe in it. Anyway.
It does!
Getting over into Dragon Quest 4, 5, and 6. Now, we did ask people on Twitter who their favorite Dragon Quest protagonist was and why. And an incredible amount of people mentioned the Dragon Quest 4 hero as being their favorite, both male and female versions of the hero, Solo and Sophia, as people call them. And
right.
So generally I felt like it came down to, when people answered this as their favorite, it came down to design. They like the design with these characters, or they liked it within the story. Like they liked Dragon Quest IV so mm-hmm. much, and the story and being the chosen one and all that, that's why they liked the protagonist. It was generally the two reasons why people gave. You and I have talked about, let's start with the female protagonist. You and I have talked about before about how we like the female protagonist in DQ4, mm-hmm. but we don't like her design so much.
No. Like, I made a mistake of playing through the game as the female protagonist, and I say it was a mistake because I don't like the sprite that they use, the animations or anything, in the 3DS version. Like, I love the art that they do, but there's something about the way that they animated her and the way that they put everything together with her hair that I just didn't like looking at it the entire game. But I didn't want to restart it after I got through a bunch of it and got really tired of it. But yeah, I'm hoping that if they do a remaster, that it's not going to be quite as obnoxious, with kind of misshapen as the proportions that looked funny to me, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, my whole thing is just like, you know, why do female heroes got to be in one piece bathing suits?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, she very much is in a weird one piece bathing suit.
It's a very 80s look. Not just for fantasy, but just in general, you know, she kind of has basically a one piece bathing suit on. She has leg warmers, and then she kind of has like a perm in her hair.
It is very, very 80s permy, kind of aerobics, kind of Jane Fonda looking.
Yeah, it's what you would see if you cracked open the like Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in like 1985. What you would see.
You're absolutely right. 100%. You're right. Yep. Yeah. I never could like quite put my finger on it, like what that look was. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's absolutely it.
And so I think I like her design fine. And I played as her. Well, now that I say it, I mean, it's been a while since I played 4. But now that I say it, I think the first time I played it, I played her. I know I restarted the game a while back and didn't get super far in it because I got distracted by newer games. But I did restart the game a while back, and I know for sure I picked her the second time. The first time I may have been the guy. But my thing is just like, I mean, and it's kind of fun playing as like an 80s video game character. I mean, she does look like just straight from the 80s. I think that the guy, I think he has aged a little bit better just because this is kind of just, I don't want to say generic, but, you know, like just broad fantasy protagonist. He has he has, you know, just kind of like the tunic, pants, boots, things like that. Somebody on Twitter mentioned the little one slime earring that's there and how they liked that slime earring. And that's a cool thing that I like from the character design.
I like that. I like his headdress kind of thing. The circlet. Yeah. Where, you know, it's, yeah, I don't want to say it's the generic fantasy hero kind of thing, but it's almost the traditional kind of Dragon Quest hero where they, like, right after Erdrick, like, when they started using that as a base for the designs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he's got the hair, he's got kind of got the circlet, like you said, and while he's entirely different, it's definitely drawn from that kind of art style, that design style.
And I also really like the green hair. I like people in video games to have like different color hair. So I'm always like more interested in the protagonists that have different color hair, unless it gets overused. I thought Star Ocean almost always has a blue haired protagonist. Like that's just a thing in Star Ocean games. Not every game, but most of them have a blue haired protagonist, and then the trailer for Star Ocean the Divine Force came out, you know, like a month ago or whenever, and I mean I'm excited for the game, but like the protagonist looks super stupid. He doesn't have blue hair, which isn't the only reason he looks stupid, but he looks stupid, and now I want a blue haired protagonist.
Yeah, I mean that's why you loved it when I came and visited this year. I had my my electric blue hair and you were like, yeah, you're my protagonist.
I did not say that.
That was it. You're like, you're the hero of my story, BJ.
That is exactly what I said. Yes. That sounds
I walked in the door and it's what you said.
That sounds exactly like me.
And I was like, oh, thanks, Austin. I appreciate that. You're the hero of my story. And then we hugged and it was a moment.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. Yep, you said you disagree. You don't think the protagonist looks stupid? And
I never thought about it. Like,
really? I thought we had a whole conversation about his like scrunched up face. He looks like a big dumb dude.
I'm looking at what was the subtitle of it again?
Star Ocean, the Divine Force. He looks like he's like in a hairband. Also from the 80s. He has like the kind of like feathery blonde hair, but his face is like really smushed together.
It's not his face, it's his dumb hair. It's his weird like hairband Flock of Seagulls haircut. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. I forgot about him. I locked him out of my mind. He is not what I was picturing for this one. I think I may have been picturing Tales of Arise, but yeah, he's dumb.
Oh, Tales of Arise. Yeah, I like Tales of Arise.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I don't know what the problem is. But yeah, this guy's dumb. The Divine Force. This guy's got a dumb face. Dumb hair. Dumb face, dumber hair.
Yeah.
Tell him my sex tape.
So I think that, you know, in terms of DQ4's protagonists, I would probably rank them both somewhere towards the top of my favorite designs. Like, I do really like both of them, but also, like, 4 is probably my favorite Dragon Quest game after 11. Like, I really like 4. I really enjoy 4 a whole lot. And
I think looking back on 4, I like it a lot better than I did playing it.
Yeah.
I was real frustrated with it and didn't really enjoy it at times. And now looking back on it, I can see it as a whole now that I've finished it and have some distance from it. I'm like, yeah, that was a good game.
Yeah. I really like 4, and so I think maybe that's kind of skews how much I like the protagonists in this one. Just kind of going off what we said in last week's episode about like them having personalities, I do feel like there's still not a well-developed like personality with these protagonists. Like they're still fairly blank slate. You are kind of the chosen one, but I think for whatever reason, I feel like the protagonists in 4 feel like they have personalities, even though they don't really, because of the cast of characters that are around them. The other characters are so well developed and have their own little quirks and character traits and stuff that somehow that kind of is reflected off the protagonist. Whereas if that protagonist was in a game like 3, where you're creating your own party members and stuff, I feel like the protagonist wouldn't really have a personality.
Yeah, not really at all. And it was after 4 that it really started picking up, having more of a fleshed out protagonist with a backstory and everything, which, again, they started with 4. They started having, you know, the Erdrick yeah, but you know, you had a starting village, you had a family, you had all of this stuff going on that was constantly referenced, and then in 5 onward it started really building from that.
Speaking of 5, there were a number of people who said that they liked DQ5's protagonists the best. Not necessarily, none of it was really related to design the way DQ4's protagonists were.
Yeah.
Most of it was story. Because I feel like Dragon Quest V is where you get a hero who actually feels like a character.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of design, though, talking about design first, I really like his design, and I brought this up in one of my old Dragon Quest Austin
yep.
blog posts, or maybe it was in my book. I don't know. It's something Dragon Questy that I wrote. There's a lot. I can't keep up with it anymore.
It's like, yeah, no one will ever be able to find it based on that criteria.
Yeah, there's a lot of it out there now. But I mentioned one time I was talking about how much I liked the design because of it's really the first time in the series, I feel like, where so much effort went into designing this character with his role in the story and in gameplay. Like you're a shepherd in this game, and you have like the walking stick that, you know, kind of almost looks like a shepherd's crook. It also signifies, you know, that he's this wanderer and everything because he's traveling. His clothes are a little bit raggedy to signify all the like terrible, awful things that happened to him over the course of the game. You kind of have the turban, the headdress, whatever you want to call it, up there, which kind of goes into that shepherd look. Especially if you just like, you know, if you look up like the, like shepherds from the Bible or something, there's like almost that cliche, you know, right there. And so I feel like they did a really good job with designing Five's protagonist in terms of just making him, his design makes sense for the story, but also just like the gameplay elements, you know, with because he is a shepherd in a lot of ways, with taming animals, monsters, mm-hmm. and using them in battle and everything. And so I think it was really clever what they did with DQ5's protagonist.
Yeah, I mean, I really like how Five actually is a person. And you see, and both of them are people. I mean, you see, you play his dad for a little bit at the beginning, right? I'm right. That's who you're playing as at the beginning before you swap in, because he's a baby.
I don't think you ever control him. The game does start with him. I've only played Five once. The game does start with Pancras like pacing back and forth and everything, and then you do name it at the main character as Pancras, but then it skips ahead and you're a little boy. And you're just following your dad and stuff. And then you take.
Okay. I was thinking that you were leading the kid around instead of the other way around. So no, I'm wrong. But he's also cool enough that people got your story out of it, where he is a fully fleshed out character and a protagonist of a movie that whether you love it or not, you know, exists.
I love it.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it many a time now, and I really like it. I think that is probably why they chose that one. Other than, you know, Yuji Horii has said that that's his favorite Dragon Quest game.
Yeah,
but I think that another reason for choosing that one is because of how good the story is, but also how well. I'm trying to think of a way to put it here that doesn't sound just like overly pedantic, but. Like, because of the way people feel about that character, because he goes through so much, it really makes you feel for DQ5's protagonist. And I think I'm not one of those people who just love DQ5. Like, I thought it was really, really good the first time I played it. And like I said, I've only played it once. But as I've gotten like away from it, kind of like you were talking with 4, as I've gotten more and more away from it, it's still one of my favorite games, but there's definitely several Dragon Quest games I like better than 5 now. But DQ5's protagonist is probably my favorite. Like, if I were having to tell someone what my favorite protagonist was, I would say it's DQ5's protagonist. Other than 11's protagonist, DQ5's protagonist is the only one that I bothered buying a Bring Arts figure for, and maybe it's the only Bring Arts figure that exists now that I say that, but it's the one that I was like, when I saw them coming out with that, I was like, oh yeah, I have to get that one because I like that design and because I like that character. And, you know, no matter how you feel about the other Dragon Quests, protagonists, I think Fives is the one that really feels like their own character.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that way about some of the later ones. I feel that way about, honestly, with 9 and 11 as well. Like, those are probably the most fleshed out protagonist to me.
In 9, but the 9 one is just you.
But the 9 one has the story behind everything going through with the Celestials, and I feel like even though it is just you and it's a creation, like it's not a pre-generated character, I feel like that is secondary to because you still play a part in the story with a background and mentor and everything that really makes it feel like a character to me. Like, I think about that one more than just about any of them. Like, I think it's my second favorite, and I think 11 is my favorite protagonist. So, not 7.
We're going to get to 7. Cool your jets, man. We're going to get there. Next week, actually, because this is 4, 5, and 6. So, we'll be there next week. I think with DQ5's protagonist is that you feel this personal connection to him more so because, I mean, you're there for his birth. You see him being
right.
And then you play as him as a little kid for a pretty good chunk of the game. Then you play as him as like a young man. Then you play as him, you know, for falling in love and having kids. And then, you know, you turn to stone for like 8 years. And then, and then, you know, your kids are grown and you have this family now and you're like protecting them and you're going off to save the world and all of this kind of stuff. I think that all of that kind of is really why he stands out to me is because like you play through his life. Like in most, if not all of the other Dragon Quest protagonists, it's like you're with them for a very brief time. You're with them for this adventure.
Yeah.
But with DQ5's protagonist, it's like you're there. You like hit all these milestones, you know, like all the milestones that you would hit in real life, being born, having a parent die, moving, you know, being in jail for 8 years. Falling in love, getting married, having kids, like all of these things are like these like it hits, you know, pretty much all the major life events that you encounter in real life. And I think that's why DQ5's protagonist really just stands out to me.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going to be able to watch from, you know, as your kids go through these, when they spend their 8 years in prison or frozen in stone, you're going to be prepared to handle that because of DQ5.
Yeah. Well, I think in that instance, I would be the one in stone. And then Yeah. And then I wake up and you've taken care of them because you're Sancho in this. You'd be Sancho. And then Grace and I are like stone for 8 years. And then we pop out and the kids are grown and Naomi's the chosen one. And we're like,
yeah, that's fair.
Really quickly, before we continue this discussion, though, I think it is time for a little shameless self-promotion.
It's so shameless. It's so shameless. It's that time of year. Shameless, 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 shameless. We are here.
So we do have a Patreon page. You can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. There's all sorts of goodies for you guys to check out. There are minisodes. There's rewards we like to give out. There's even a Dragon Quest TTRPG 5e compatible game that we've been kind of working on in our free time. And BJ posted something new up there today.
Yesterday. It was yesterday that I had posted it where y'all can check it out. It's the first page of the Castle of the Dragon Mage thing that we're working on. Super rough draft, obviously, but if you want to see what we're doing, go to Patreon and check it out. And it is for patrons only. So thank you guys.
Yeah. So just a shout out to all our patrons who keep supporting this podcast and all the kind of creative endeavors we try to come up with. And hopefully you guys like all these little things we've been sharing with you guys just to say thanks for, you know, supporting us while we're working on this stuff on the side. It's been really nice. So thank you guys. Getting back into today's episode real quick is Dragon Quest VI is protagonist. Now we got to talk about this one because a couple people said they like Dragon Quest VI as protagonist. Not many. I think probably less than any other hero that was mentioned, at least on Twitter. And we got a pretty good chunk of responses. Yeah. Like around 100, I want to say. Actually, way more than that if you count the quote RTs that were in there. So we got a pretty good amount of feedback from people on what their, you know, favorite protagonist is. And 6 didn't get as much love, but I think that's because 6 as a game doesn't get as much love.
Right.
You have not played 6, so I don't want to spoil too much in our discussion here. Anybody who's listened to this podcast for very long or knows me at all knows that I really love Dragon Quest 6. Like as a game, I think I probably like Dragon Quest 6 even better than 5, even though I like 5's protagonist way better.
Yeah.
I do think I like Dragon Quest 6 as a game better. I just, whatever it was, once you know, the game really clicked for me. At first, I was like, I don't know if I like this. And then...
Yeah, you were talking about quitting it a lot.
Yeah, well, part of the reason for that was that I was trying to beat every Dragon Quest game in a year, which I did.
You did.
but part of that was that I had already played and beaten 7, and I did not enjoy 7 my first time playing through it.
Yeah.
And then I went back and played the Zenithia trilogy after I beat 7. So I played 4, loved it, 5, loved it, and then I got to 6, and in terms of structure, narrative structure, 6 is very similar. You know, there's a huge chunk at the beginning where you don't have vocations, and then you unlock those later on. And so at first with 6, it, you know, I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this again because of my feelings for 7 back then, which, you know, I mean, I like 7 now. And then the other thing was that, and it's still I think a valid criticism with the game, is that the game is very bad about telling you where you need to go. And the story is convoluted. Story's convoluted. It's confusing about where to go sometimes. And it's just, I mean, it is a flawed game, but I love it anyway. And with 6's protagonist, though, I feel like in terms of the story, 6's protagonist has no real personality. I mean, he's got friends there at the beginning, and there's a cool like little twist with his character later on. I don't want to spoil for you, but there's like some things there. But I feel like compared to as a follow up to 5, the protagonist is just kind of like, okay, he's a dude with spiky hair.
Yeah.
I mean, I like his design. I really like the kind of the blue spiky hair that he has, the look he has. I feel like it was really is really cool. And I do like his design, but as a character within the story, he's pretty meh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's one of the things, I don't know anything about 6. Like, I know some stuff about 6 just from hearing you talk about it and other people, but I don't really know anything about the protagonist. And it speaks to exactly what you're saying.
What are your thoughts on his design, though? You haven't played the game, but you've seen his design.
I really like his design. He's pretty. I think it.
He's purdy.
He's pretty. Like, that's about all I know.
I put this on Twitter a while back because in my free time, this is what I do. But I was realizing how much the Dragon Quest 6 characters are almost identical to Chrono Trigger's characters.
Yeah, and very, very similar.
And these games were in development at the same time. Yuji Horii has even said that Chrono Trigger is probably why DQ6 didn't turn out as good as he wanted. You know, they cut out, like, story beats and just you know, multiple things from 6 because of Chrono Trigger,
which I'm fine with because I love it. Chrono Trigger is one of my favorite JRPGs ever.
Yeah, like, so I found shots, artwork, official Toriyama artwork of all of these protagonists, and like even their poses are really similar. Like, you look at Chrono and DQ6's protagonist, and like they even have similar poses, hair, like everything looks very, very much identical. Terry and Frog, like their buckler and sword and everything like that. I mean, it's like uncanny. I mean, they're almost in like the same position in some of the official art and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, obviously Carver is Robo.
Very, very much, yeah.
And there's just like all these similarities. And I put those on Twitter a while back. If I think about it, I'll, you know, try to link to it in show notes this week. But anyway, just side by side like that, and just, again, this was me just in my free time. You know, I put them side by side for each one. They're also, like, the numbers of each of them, you know, line up really well. I guess there's Amos, who is an optional character in 6. There's a couple other optional characters. And then you have, what's his name? Not Dalmagus in Chrono Trigger. What's his name?
Magus?
Yeah, that you unlock as a character.
Yep.
later on, who's a bad guy. Yeah. So there's some similarities there, but not necessarily with like designs or anything, but just in terms of like the main characters that are there, there's a lot of similarities. And so I think it's one of those things that now that I've seen it, I can't get over it for just like how similar they look.
Yeah.
Where when I look at Dragon Quest VI's protagonist, now I'm just like, man, that in a lot of ways is just like a recolor, reskin of Chrono.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. If you color his hair red, he looks really similar to Chrono.
Yeah. But I mean, like the sword, the way their hand is out and everything, like there's very similar poses and everything in the Toriyama art that is just uncanny, like the X-Men.
Or the Valley.
Yeah. How appropriate, kind of. We're talking about character design.
Designs that look just a little off.
Yeah. Overall, though, it's like I like Six's design fine. I think out of the Zenithia trilogy, both in terms of character design and importance in the story, Six's is probably the on the lower end for me. Even though, again, right. I love Six. I think in just looking purely at protagonists, I'd probably rank them like 5, 4, and 6 personally for the Zenithia trilogy. But I mean, still, they're cool. I like them.
Yeah. I like Six's design a lot. He's pretty, but
you also like the spiky hair and the blue hair.
I do. I like spiky blue hair, which is why I had spiky blue hair for a good part of this year. So, I mean, you're right.
Yeah. That's it. Imagine him with like brown hair and a flat top and you wouldn't like him anymore.
Mm-mm. No, I wouldn't. He would just be like, "Oh, that's Austin."
I don't have a flat top.
I know you don't.
Could you imagine me with a flat top?
No, that'd be weird. I like you better with short hair than long, but not with a flat top.
Yeah. This conversation's going off the rails now. But thank you guys for hanging out with us for a little while today while we chat about the protagonist of the Zenithia trilogy. We'll be back next week to talk about the next protagonist in the game, at least 7, 8, and 9. We're gonna try to fit in 10 and 11 too, but that's going to be a lot of protagonists to cover in a very short period of time. But either way, we will continue this discussion next week. If you want to talk to us on Twitter, you can find us at DragonQuestFM. If you want to chat with us on Patreon or check out any of the cool stuff that we mentioned earlier in the episode, you can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And if you want to talk to me directly, you can find me on Twitter at DragonQuestin.
And I'm on Twitter as at Professor Beej. You can listen to my other podcast, the Geek to Geek podcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can join us on Discord and talk to us at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And don't forget, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And you can see some of the new cool 5th edition stuff that we have previewed for you this week.
Yeah, and we have merch that we keep forgetting to mention. Where is that at?
DragonQuest.fm/merch.
Okay, cool. I can never remember, and that's the easiest thing in the world to remember, that URL.
It is. Yep, it is.
DragonQuest.fm/merch.
Yep.
Okay.
That it?
We're not doing a bit, by the way. I legit can't remember, and I was recording. This isn't a bit. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, y'all.
Welcome, everyone, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm BJ.
And this week, we're going to be continuing our discussion over Dragon Quest protagonists. We went all the way up through 6 in the last 2 episodes, so this time we're going to try our darndest to cram in protagonists from 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Which sounds kind of difficult, but we'll see. It may roll over into next week's episode too. But we'll all find out together. It'll be an adventure.
It's true.
So let's just jump straight in then and talk about Dragon Quest VII's protagonist.
Right.
Before you get in and start knocking on him, I just want to bring up that outside of maybe the heroes from 4 and 5, I think 7's protagonist got the most love on Twitter in terms of people saying that was their favorite DQ protagonist. And I actually really like the protagonist from DQ7 as well. He's kind of this, you know, little derpy looking kid.
Yeah.
I guess, for lack of a better term. But he's, but I really like him, and I know you absolutely hate him, or at least his design.
I don't like his design. I was really glad in the 3DS version, once I finally got to Altraid's Abbey and started doing the vocations, where I could change the way that he looked. That I really hate his little Link outfit, where it just looks like he just looks like a little wiener, and he kind of acts like it for the most part until the near the end of the game, where he starts to, you know, take over as a hero.
Yeah, and maybe that's part of his charm, is he's just a little fisherman's son / wiener kid, to borrow your term.
I get annoyed by wiener kid characters like Harry Potter and you know, Luke Skywalker, that I just get kind of irritated. I'm like, oh, I know this character so much. And I'm like, you're going to get strong and feel good about yourself. And like, it's just that kind of narrative I don't enjoy. And so he's just kind of there. Like, I like the supporting cast a lot, though. I like Kiefer, I really, really like in it.
I mean, I don't usually like those kind of characters either. You know, like, I mean, you know, you read Harry Potter, not for Harry Potter, but for like the side characters. Kind of,
yeah.
Like,
and
I mean, I at least watch Star Wars for, you know, characters besides Luke Skywalker. I mean, I like Luke, yep. but I mean, it's the side characters and everything that kind of make the protagonists worth it, worth dealing with.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, tolerable.
Yeah. So I could see that. I think with Seven's character is that he's a little bit, just kind of going off of how we've compared him in previous episodes, I think that his character is a little bit more well-developed than others, because, you know, he has that family that you go to and you interact right with his dad a lot, and he's got Kiefer as a BFF, and, you know, there's Maribel, the neighbor next door, who's always like hounding on him about everything.
Yep.
And so I think there's like more of a, not incentive, more of like a, my mind is totally blinking on the word right now. But anyway, I feel like he's more developed as a character than just a blank slate protagonist.
Right.
Because
to invest in there.
To invest in. Yeah, I guess that's the word I was trying to think of. Yeah. Like, you're more invested in him because you see his family, you see his hometown, you see how he interacts with, even if it's just, yeah, you know, as interactive for a silent protagonist, but you get to see the way, I guess, other people interact with him, and it kind of,
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's nice. I like DQ7's protagonist, even though you don't.
I do think it's neat starting out the game, though. Like, I've always liked starting it and just being able to go out in the middle of the night and just start smashing stuff around town as him. He's just this little kid. You like wake up in the middle of the night to see what's going on. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to destroy all of these crates and barrels around town and nobody can stop me. Like, I don't even have a weapon yet. But I'm just going to terrorize my hometown. Like, that's my favorite thing about him, is just being able to do that at the very beginning.
One thing that I found frustrating, but also slightly endearing about that, is that whenever you return to your hometown and everyone is still treating you like a stupid kid, but like,
yeah,
at a certain point, it's like, you know, 60 hours later, and you've gone off and like saved all these things and gone off on all these adventures and like gotten really good and mastered all these jobs. And then you come back and they're just still treating you like a stupid kid, which, yeah, I guess is a nice like juxtaposition. But also, when I was playing the game, I was getting really frustrated. Like, I was like, do you know who you're talking to?
Yeah, it's like, you don't know what I've been through. Like, you haven't seen what I've seen.
Yeah, exactly.
but it does make sense with the characters and the family and stuff, where they haven't seen what he's seen. He is still just that kid to them.
Yeah. Dragon Quest VIII's protagonist. Now, several people said DQ8 was their favorite, but I think,
right,
kind of like with 5, it's like that they loved the character because of their love of the game. It wasn't necessarily anything,
right, yeah,
particular about 8. And I like 8's character. I mean, he's not my favorite. I don't like his outfit. Like, a lot of people talk,
right,
about how cool he looks, and I really don't like his design very much.
I thought it was fine while I was playing through the game, but I didn't realize how annoyed by it that I was, like how tired of it, I guess, is better. I was, until they gave that outfit for 11 to put on as a bonus. And I'm like, I do not want to run around another game looking like that. And that was, I think it's a cool thing that they gave. Like, I'm glad they gave it to people, but it's for people who like it. But yeah, it is not something that I like anymore. Like, I'm glad he's brightly colored, but I think it's the do-rag on his head that I get bored of. I'm just like, you know how much I dislike pirates. He looks like a pirate boy. Like, really, I don't know what it is. Like, he looks fine when you're playing the game, but I'm just, it's kind of like Cloud. I'm tired of the way Cloud looks too. It's just kind of generic for me now, as it's become that point in pop, that kind of pop culture touchstone within the genre.
It's become like so iconic that it's like tiresome.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. That's it.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't really like his design. I do think he's an interesting character, you know, at least if you just play like the base game and everything, where you don't necessarily know about like his secret ancestry or anything like that. But just in terms of him being like he's like a guard at the castle, you know, he helps the king escape. King Trode and Medea have been turned into different forms. And I think that stuff is interesting. I think that, you know, his friendship with Yangus is cool. His romance with Medea is interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to frame a game around a romance with a horse, but DQ8 does it.
It is.
Succeeds.
It's true. I mean, it's that's usually in the realm of Chuck Tingle novels, and DQ8 does it well.
You're the one person who referenced Chuck Tingle this week.
Yep, I am. I surely am. And you're welcome. I did. I really did. It. Those of you who don't know who Chuck Tingle is,
Google it. I'm gonna laugh. Yeah, if Tingle starts like being like a breakout trend on Google.
Oh, I mean, he already is. I mean, people love Chuck Tingle. Like, he's still putting out all sorts of content. I guess I have no idea if it's it's a pseudonym, very obviously, for adult
erotic
romance novels. Yeah, erotic romance novels.
Erotic novels. Yes,
I think he actually does brand them as romance.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're not familiar, just Google it. You'll see lots of like, not to hate on Chuck Tingle, but you'll see lots of like kind of sloppy Photoshop jobs with like shirtless dudes.
Oh, it's meant to be that way too. Like, it's a whole shtick. It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
I've never read one of them, but I love the idea of, Chuck Tingle, if not the reality.
You love the, okay, I have to tell this story really quickly. So years ago, when BJ and I worked together, speaking of romance novels, he had left himself logged into his Amazon account, not on his office computer, but just on a random computer in the computer lab where any college student or anybody could have tampered with it. And I happened to just be at that computer, as luck would have it. And I noticed, I'd gone to Amazon for some reason, and I noticed that he was still logged in there. And so I added romance novels to his to his Kindle. And one was called
Christmas
like
themed,
but it was like, what was it?
I don't remember Christmas, the name of it.
Christmas for my Grinch or something. A special Christmas for my Grinch.
Something like that. Like, I read it. I made sure that I read it, and it was not good.
Oh, you read it. How nice.
It was not good. It was a Christmas gift. It was not good. It was exactly what you would expect it to be.
So there you go. Fun little story from like 12 years ago.
Yeah,
that was 12 years ago. Yeah, it was 12 years ago, I'm pretty sure. It might have not been 12 years ago, but I'm pretty sure it was before I got married. I got married
in 2012. Yeah. Yeah, maybe it was like 2010 or 2011, maybe.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
That doesn't matter, but it was a long time. Yeah. But yeah, DQ8, protagonist, I like his role within the story. He's not my favorite protagonist by a long shot. Again, I don't really like his design too much. And you know, I kind of think DQ8 is overhyped anyway, but like, I think he's an interesting enough character. And I think that, kind of like you said with Cloud, it's kind of the same problem that Cloud has. It's just like, at a certain point, you get tired of seeing the protagonist because you see him so much.
Yeah. I mean, I keep seeing, like Cloud, I keep seeing those Polygon original figures on the Square Enix store, and I saw that they were on sale for Black Friday, and I almost bought it. But at the same time, you know, I told you I was trying to avoid buying a whole lot of just random stuff to sit around because I have so much. But also, I was like, do I really want to see Cloud? Like, the rest of it would be kind of cool, but the Cloud, I was like, it's just Cloud. I see that a lot anyway. So I didn't end up buying it when it was half off. And that's actually kind of why, just because Cloud is saturated.
Dragon Quest VIII's protagonist does have one benefit, like one thing up on all the other protagonists in the Dragon Quest games, and that would definitely be Munchie. I mean, he has a little mouse in his pocket.
Oh yeah, Munchie. Yeah. That is 100% the best thing about him. And I love the parts where you get to play as Munchie in the game. Like, I love the little Munchie stealth, like going through the puzzle kind of tunnel things when you get to during the game. Like, that was one of my favorite parts, because the first time that I got to do it, it was such a delightful surprise.
I like those parts too, and it kind of makes DQ8 unique. Like, no other Dragon Quest game has the parts like that where you transfer into a different creature. I mean, even in 11, when you're a fish, it's still you. You're the luminary.
It's still you doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, having your pet pocket fish that you pull out and transfer your consciousness into.
Give me a pocket fish, Dragon Quest 12. I'm asking for it right now.
I'm really hoping that you guys give us a pocket fish. And if that's in there, I will love you forever.
How would it breathe?
I will be very grateful.
How would it
breathe? Have water in your pocket. You put water in your pocket.
You just have, like, a little fish bowl. Like the protagonist has a little mini fish bowl in his pocket with, like, a... There's, like, a goldfish.
I don't know, it could be lined like a wine skin or something. You just have some water sitting in there with your fish, for your pocket fish.
Okay, cool. This is not where I thought this episode was going to go.
not to erotic romance novels and pocket fish.
Yeah, Chuck Tingle, pocket fish. Like, this has gone to some interesting places.
This has gone off the rails.
DQ9's protagonist. You said in last week's episode the DQ9 is maybe your favorite, or definitely in your top two besides 11. Like, you love 9's protagonist.
DQ9's protagonist is really awesome, and I know, like, you and I were talking about it
last week.
I guess yesterday, or was it last week? I don't remember when. Yeah, it was it seems like it was actually sooner than that. But it really is. I like him because even though he is the kind of blank slate, the being able to customize them and go through so much of the game with or without a party just really made me like him. And also because he's tied directly into the story from the moment you start. Like, he has a backstory. He's not just a generic hero. It's like there is an entire bit of history with him that I don't really feel with the other generic heroes. And so he always felt like a character to me, even though he was a nameless proxy for the player. Mm-hmm. And so I only wish that during my actual playthrough, rather than the ones I started, that I'd played with the girl instead of the boy. I like the girl models in that one better, so I made sure that I had my favorite character in my party have the girl model that I wanted.
I played as a girl in this one too.
Did you? All of my times I started it, like, emulated and things like that before I was able to get it. I loved it. Like, I thought the hairstyles were great, and then when I played it on the 3DS, like, started it for realsies, it was like, oh, well, I'm gonna play a boy. And then I got halfway through it and I was like, oh, I like the girl hairstyles better. But yeah, I really like the DQ9 protagonist.
It's interesting that you say that, because I chose a female protagonist for 9.
Yeah.
And this was one of the rare examples where I chose the female protagonist and kind of regretted it. Like, I actually really liked the guy design. Yeah. And there were different times when I was just like, do I really need to be a lady in this game?
I mean, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
Yeah. Kind of like you mentioned last week, you know, the even though it's more of a blank slate party and everything, kind of like 3 has. They do kind of spice up the protagonist's role in the story because of, you know, the whole fallen angel thing and like the your relationship with, oh my gosh, Stella. I couldn't remember. In my mind, yeah. I was just thinking obnoxious fairy. Stella and Aquila.
Aquila, yeah.
We never did decide on the correct pronunciation for that one.
Aquila the Hun.
yeah. And so I do think, you know, Nine's protagonist is cool within the story. I like the design too, the little Celestrian look that they have.
Yeah.
I like that a lot too.
So I love like anything that has wings. I mean, I'm a sucker for winged characters. Whenever I see I'm able to get a character like feathered wings, I tend to go for it. Like you told me not to in Star Ocean and I didn't listen and it was a mistake. Yeah. Because I'm like, they have wings. And then it was like, oh, they're not good. He told me it wasn't good, but they're not good. Yeah. And so, yeah. But yeah, that's part of the reason I like DQ9s, too, is because you constantly get to see people with feathered wings. Like, I love them. Like, I just love them.
So before we talk about 10 and 11 here, I think it's time for a little shameless self-promotion.
Shameless, shameless, jingle bells and shameless money, money, Patreon, shameless.
Like BJ so eloquently put it, we do have a Patreon page. You can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. So if you're ever listening to this podcast and think, huh, I want to support this, then you have that option. And special shout out to all of our Patreon patrons. We greatly appreciate every single one of you. And also, if you're listening to this podcast, give us a review sometime. We like seeing reviews. It's been a while since we've had some reviews, so give us some reviews. Hopefully 5 stars, but you know, just share your opinion with us. It takes like 2 seconds if you don't want to write anything and just want to punch the little star icons, but it would be greatly appreciated, and thank you very much for doing that. Also, since it's shameless self-promotion, I have 2 quick things I want to shamelessly self-promote for myself.
Okay, do it.
Number one is, so I reviewed Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker for work.
Right.
Amazing game. 5 out of 5. Super recommend it. I know you guys have heard us talk about Final Fantasy 14 on this podcast quite a bit over the last few years. Just amazing. So if you want to see my review, you can do that. Check it out. I shared it on Twitter right before we recorded this episode, but we're like a week ahead, behind. I don't know. Anyway, we're right. Pre-recording this. So it's going to be like a week old by the time you hear this. Second thing I wanted to mention is our friend Kevin. He has a podcast. It's called Hi Mom. And right. By the time this episode is live, that episode will be live, but right now it hasn't happened yet, if that makes sense. But anyway, I'm going to be sitting down and recording with him to do an episode on Squid Game. So if you heard me and BJ talking about Squid Game in an episode a few weeks ago, and you're like, wow, I wonder what Austin's opinions on Squid Game are, even more, then be sure to check out Hi Mom, Kevin's podcast, which should be live by the time this episode is up.
Cool. I'll be shameless too. One of my things this year that I did, well, one of my things last year is that I wrote a D&D adventure called Claws for Concern. It's free on DM's Guild. It's pay what you want. And apparently it got really well received. And it's like absurd downloading like 3,000 times at this point and has reached Electrum Seller. So if you can go and help me reach that gold bestseller mark, that would be fantastic at dmsguild.com.
That was shameless.
Yep, it is. Yeah.
Just the voice you were using in everything.
Yeah. I mean, I figured, you know, go all in.
So getting back into this week's episode, Dragon Quest X's protagonist. This one is kind of a toughie because it's an MMO and you choose your race and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, what is the protagonist? It's hard to gauge in terms of protagonist because it's like, obviously, if you're a Weddy, you're going to look a whole lot different than if you were an ogre.
Right.
And so I think for this one, in my mind, it's like maybe we should just judge what like the canonical hero looks like, the canonical protagonist, you know, the dude that kind of has like the chainmail and stuff on him.
Yeah. Look at the brown hair.
Yeah. He looks basically just like Nine's protagonist, but without the wings.
Yeah. And to me, and I know this is going to sound weird, makes him look kind of basic. And I'm just like, meh, he's so generic. I don't care.
Yeah, he's the most generic of any of them. But again, I think that's kind of the point because it's an MMO. Same thing with Final Fantasy 14. You know, yes. The Final Fantasy 14 go-to protagonist there looks super generic as well. And so it's kind of hard to judge this one on the criteria of the others, because really, when you think about it, with all the customization options and stuff that, that Dragon Quest X has, it's like, in a way, this is kind of the best one, because, I mean, you can pick your race, you can pick your gender, you can pick your hairstyle. I mean, you can do like so much stuff. You have different outfits that you can constantly update yourself and update your look on. And I mean, so it's just like, in that respect, it's almost like the best one, because it can just be whatever you want, baby.
And you have to, like, because it's an MMO and you have just this generic hero that you make make yourself, there are, and I may be wrong on this, but there are pretty much main characters through each of the expansions on it that you're kind of following around and interacting with as the main NPC, right? Like Ana Lucia and some others, or am I completely wrong in that?
Well, they really start that. I haven't gotten past the version 2 content, but version 2 is really where that starts. In the first one, it's just kind of like you're going around, you get to choose, you know, which race you want to be out of the five tribes, and you go around. It's very much like a regular Dragon Quest game, where it's like each location, each tribe you visit kind of has some main NPCs and stuff, but it's very, they really amp it up with the characters and you know, having characters that you care about and follow you along, starting with like Ana Lucia, and I don't know if the people call him Crow or Claws now or whatever they've decided on, but the dude in like the cowboy hat that shows up in version 2.
Yeah.
So like you start to see like more characters like that you're, and I mean, Ana Lucia is still in the game, so I have to think that, you know, that's like a long term thing that the later versions follow up on that as well. But again, I haven't played like 3.0 and beyond or any of that stuff. So you can take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, that was one of those where I thought it was the case, but I haven't seen specifically all of them. So I was just kind of like winging it there.
Yeah, I gotcha. So Dragon Quest XI's protagonist, I said last week or sometime that you said that that was probably your favorite besides 9. And I said last week that it was probably my favorite besides 5.
Yeah.
So I think we both agree that 11's protagonist is good, even though you don't like his hair.
I don't like his hair. It's still kind of gross. And I saw a picture, and it may have been from DQ10. Somebody else who had that long, straight luminary hair. And I saw it on Twitter, and I can't remember exactly who it was. It might have been on Ryan's Twitter, where I was like, wait, that's a picture of the luminary I've never seen. And then it wasn't the luminary. And I was like, I thought he was the only one with that ugly hairstyle.
You're probably talking about Padre, maybe. Padre from DQ10.
Looks
a whole lot like the luminary, but like his brow is a little bit more furrowed and his hair is longer.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. He's like if the luminary like had an even rougher life and got roughed up, like that's kind of what he would look like.
I'm looking. Yep, that's him.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. That's who I was. He is.
The hair does not bother me at all. I know that fans like to dump on his hair all the time, and it's like kind of a running joke at this point. But the hair doesn't bug me one bit. I'm just like, whatever. It's his hair. Like I know you hate it. I know like Platy hates it big time, and I see like jokes about his hair all the time on Twitter and places. But it's just like, like I like his hair fine. It's hair. I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's just something that it does make him unique though. It makes him unique. And, I do like his clothes, like his main outfit, the green and purple, I really like, and ended up not always having him in a cosmetic outfit because of it. That even though costuming is a big part of the game, I still ended up swapping back to his just everyday regular clothes every once in a while and would look at those. So I like his model.
I like I kept up with his normal outfit, too, because that was my favorite. The purple and green look. Really liked it. And I was the same way. There's a few times that I would like put a different outfit on him. Eventually, I think I did tend to stick with the Erdwin armor.
Oh, okay.
You know, which looks a lot like Erdrick from 3's armor. And I eventually did do that the first time I played it, but then whenever I was playing 11S, I just kept the purple outfit the whole time because I really like that outfit and everything. He's also the first Dragon Quest protagonist to ever talk. Granted, it's in a flashback when you're a kid. It's super jarring because you hear him talk as a little kid, and then he's like silent all the time in the main story outside of like grunts and stuff when he's like thrusting his sword. That sounded way too sexual.
It does. And it also kind of, I was disappointed because they said in the options that you could change the hero's voice in 11S, and it was just changing the way that they grunted. And I was like, well, this is real annoying. That is not a feature that you changed, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was jarring when they were a kid.
You know, 11's my favorite Dragon Quest game, and I think the protagonist in terms of the story is handled really well. I mean, yeah, he kind of has like this perpetually just kind of stoic look on his face a lot of the time.
Yep.
But, you know, the supporting cast, it's kind of like with 4, the supporting cast is just like so good that I feel like that kind of affects my opinion of him overall, because it's just like you see him interacting with all of these companions throughout the story. His like whole like BFF relationship with Eric is awesome. And just like, you know, he's Rab's grandson. He's kind of like an adopted brother to Jade. Hendrick is always after him, at least in the early parts and stuff. And is always, you know, what is it? He calls him Darkspawn.
Yeah. Darkspawn. Like that was it from the beginning. Time. Yep.
Yeah, and so because of the way others interact with him, it's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I really like him. Like, in terms of, you know, the ones that you don't make yourself, I think that the Luminary is probably my favorite of the heroes. You know, I like DQ9s a lot, but if it was just straight up, like, the ones that you don't create for yourself, 11 wins every time.
I think I still like 5's the best, but I think 11's is my second favorite.
Like, and I can totally understand why 5 is the one that you go to like that.
Yeah. I think that about does it for this week's episode. We did manage to barrel through all of the rest of the protagonists here. If you want to talk to us on Twitter, you can find us at Dragon Quest FM. If you want to talk to us on Patreon, we're at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And we have merch, which you can find at DragonQuest.fm/merch. Did I say that
Woo-hoo!
Right?
You did. You got
yes.
it. Woo-hoo!
Awesome. All right. If you want to talk to me personally, you can find me on Twitter at Dragon Quaston.
And you can find me on Twitter at Professor Beej. You can listen to my other podcast, the Geek to Geek podcast, whenever you want to. And you can also go to geektogeekmedia.com to find the Discord and Slack links for our community. So check that out as well.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, y'all.